Now listen, all you prize fighters who don't want to meet defeat.
Hi there, this is Red Wagner, and today we're going to be covering the third part of our Estranged Labor series. So, we'll get straight to the document. We still have a third aspect of estranged labor to deduce from the two already considered. Man is a species being, not only because in practice and in theory he adopts the species, his own as well as those of other things, as his object, but... and this is only another way of expressing it, also because he treats himself as the actual living species, because he treats himself as a universal and therefore free being. The life of the species, both in man and in animals, consists physically in the fact that man, like an animal, lives on organic nature. The more universal man, or the animal, is... the more universal is the sphere of inorganic nature on which he lives. Just as plants, animals, stones, air, light, etc. constitute theoretically a part of human consciousness, partly as objects of nature science, and partly as objects of art. His spiritual inorganic nature, spiritual nourishment, which he must first prepare to make palatable and digestible, so also in the realm of practice they constitute a part of human life and human activity. Physically, man lives only on these products of nature, whether they appear in the form of food, heating, clothes, a dwelling, etc. The universality of man appears in practice precisely in the universality which makes all nature his inorganic body. Both inasmuch as nature is one, his direct means of life, and two, the material, the object, and the instrument of his life activity. Nature is man's inorganic body. Nature, that is, insofar it is not itself human body. Man lives on nature, with which he must remain in continuous interchange if he is not to die. That man's physical nature and spiritual life is linked to nature means simply that nature is linked to itself, for man is a part of nature. Here Marx is getting back into the connection with nature and the estrangement with nature. He's pointing out that man is a natural being like an animal, so his body is nature, but he's also connected to the rest of nature outside of him. 2. In estranging from man, nature, and himself, his own active functions, his life activity, estranged labor, estranges the species from man. It changes for man the life of the species into a means of individual life. First, it estranges the life of the species and individual life, and secondly, it makes individual life in its abstract form the purpose of the life of the species. Likewise, in its abstract and estranged form. Okay, so here he's building up the estrangement from nature, that's one piece, and then the estrangement from your actual daily functions, in other words, being estranged from the labor that you do when you go to work, those combined together make us estranged from the beings around us. It estranges us into this very individualized, secluded life. For labor, life activity, productive life itself, appears to man in the first place merely as a means of satisfying a need, the need to maintain physical existence. Yet the productive life is the life of the species. It is the life engendering life. The whole character of a species, its species character, is contained in the character of its life activity. And free, conscious activity is man's species character. Life itself appears only as a means to life. Here again, Marx points out that the activities that an animal does define what it is as a species, and the thing that defines man, for Marx, is the ability to consciously think and change the things that you do. Again, when you don't control your own actions, when you go to work, for instance, then that piece of being a human being is taken away from you. The animal is immediately one with its life activity. It does not distinguish itself from it. It is its life activity. Man makes his life activity itself the object of his will and of his consciousness. He has conscious life activity. It is not a determination with which he directly merges. Conscious life activity distinguishes man immediately from animal life activity. It is just because of this that he is a species being. Or, it is only because he is a species being that he is a conscious being, i.e. that his own life is an object for him. Only because of that is his activity free activity. Estranged labor reverses this relationship so that it is just because man is a conscious being that he makes his life activity, his essential being, a mere means to his existence. In creating a world of objects by his personal activity, in his work upon inorganic nature, man proves himself a conscious species being, i.e. as a being that treats the species as his own essential being, or that treats itself as a species being. Admittedly, animals also produce. They build themselves nests, dwellings, like bees, beavers, ants, etc., but an animal only produces what it immediately needs for itself or its young. It produces one-sidedly, whilst man produces universally. It produces only under the dominion of immediate physical need, whilst man produces even when he is free from physical need, and only truly produces in freedom therefrom. An animal produces only itself, whilst man reproduces the whole of nature. An animal's product belongs immediately to its physical body, whilst man freely controls his product. An animal forms only in accordance with the standard and the need of the species to which it belongs. Whilst man knows how to produce in accordance with the standard of every species, and knows how to apply everywhere the inherent standard to the object, man also forms objects in accordance with the laws of beauty. It is just in his work upon the objective world, therefore, that man really proves himself to be a species being. This production is his active species life. Through this production, nature appears as his work and his reality. The object of labor is therefore the objectification of man's species life, for he duplicates himself not only, as in consciousness, intellectually, but also actively, in reality, and therefore he sees himself in a world that he has created. In tearing away from man the object of his production, therefore, estranged labor tears from him his species life, his real objectivity as a member of the species, and transforms his advantage over animals into the disadvantage that his inorganic body nature is taken from him. Similarly, in degrading spontaneous free activity to a means, estranged labor makes man's species life a means to his physical existence. The consciousness which man has of his species is thus transformed by estrangement in such a way that species life becomes, for him, a means. What Marx is saying here is that the work that man does as a species is turned into necessary. What could be above and beyond extra is made necessary by capitalism, because you have to go out and get the job, you have to make a certain amount of money in order to survive in society. And so to do that, you're forced into these extra above activities. And Marx says that these extra above activities, that thinking and building grand things, only are really human activities when we choose to do them, when they're not forced upon us. Estranged labor turns thus man's species being, both nature and his spiritual species property, into a being alien to him, into a means of his individual existence. It estranges from man his own body, as well as external nature and his spiritual aspect, his human aspect. an immediate consequence of the fact that man is estranged from the product of his labor, from his life activity, from his species being, is the estrangement of man from man. When man confronts himself, he confronts other man. What applies to man's relation to his work, to the product of his labor, and to himself also holds of a man's relationship to other man, and to the other man's labor and object of labor. In fact, the proposition that man's species nature is estranged from him means that one man is estranged from the other, as each of them is estranged from man's essential nature. The estrangement of man, and in fact every relationship in which man stands to himself, is realized and expressed only in relationship in which a man stands to other men. Hence, with the relationship of estranged labor, each man views the other in accordance with the standard and the relationship in which he finds himself as a worker. So here Marx is getting into the estrangement of men from other men. And if we look at the ways that we can organize society, we're always organizing work and distribution. Who's going to do what work, and then who gets what stuff. And part of our estrangement of man from man is not seeing that we're making all of these decisions in our society. It feels like we're only making these small, tiny decisions. I'm going to take a job working here, and they've decided to pay me this much. But putting these decisions together in a big conglomerate ends up with this relationship that we really have with one another, which is, what am I making for everyone else? What's everyone else giving to me for the stuff that I've done? It's a very social aspect that we have to production and consumption. But in capitalism, we see it very individualized. All we see is what we do and what we get paid for it. When we go to the market to buy something, we don't see the production behind it. We just see what the little price tag says and how much of my money I have to give to get that. That's an estrangement from the entire process of production and distribution. And that is Estranged Labor, Part 3. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.
If he land with either hand, he'll sure put you to sleep.
This episode is part of the Marxism Today podcast series. Marxism Today is recorded, mixed, edited, produced, and maintained by Red Wagner. It is distributed freely and licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. To find out more about the Marxism Today podcast, visit our website at marxismtodaypodcast.wordpress.com, where you can find archives of all of our episodes available for download. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.